are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
4 seconds left. He's got the ball. He should have it. Isaiah hangs on the ball, flips it up to the Raptors. Detroit is the city of champions again.
Detroit basketball.
What's happening? Welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast, your episode for Tuesday, April the 7th, and today we're going to meet the new guy in town who's back in town. This is your boy Matt Shook, the host of the Locked On Pistons podcast, a sports writer here in Detroit City covering the NBA for the Detroit News, an Associated Press Pistons fan and follower my whole life, and a sports newspaper reporter for over a decade as well. Today, a little bit of bracketology about our 64 most influential Pistons of all time competition. And a little bit later on, we're going to be joined by Amari Sankofa, the new Free Press beat writer for the Detroit Pistons, returning home to the Motor City. Give me a follow on Twitter at @Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H. Another underscore after that, also the Locked On Pistons Twitter account. And check us out on Facebook at Locked On Pistons - Matt Shook. But we'd be remiss not to mention, in this wave of sad news that we've been seeing and reading about all over the country, and especially here in the Metro Detroit area, a more symbolic wave of sad news comes from the Detroit Tigers, as Al Kaline died on Monday, 85 years old. It sounds like he had a recent stroke. No indication that this is related to the coronavirus pandemic, but man, what a sad bit of news to hear, and of course, rightfully so. We're going to be talking about him and remembering him around here in Michigan and beyond for a period of time. Obviously won't have the traditional memorials and funerals and things that you would have under a normal situation. Maybe someday the Tigers at a game at a Comerica Park someday will be able to have all the fans out and maybe have an Al Kaline day, or maybe several Al Kaline days in the future. Like many of you, and probably the majority, if not all of you, or if not close to all of you listening, I don't have memories of Al Kaline as a player. Of course, my main pipeline to Al Kaline knowledge is through my parents, the favorite baseball player of both of my parents while they were growing up. My dad has a signed Al Kaline baseball. I got him an Al Kaline jersey for Christmas one year. They went to the 68 celebration, 50 years of the 68 team, it's been 2018. I'm a genius. But, 2018, they went up to that game when they were playing the Cardinals at Comerica Park there. My dad put together, he was a baseball nerd, he put together all the press clippings of the 1968 season, went to one of the World Series games that year as well at Tiger Stadium against the St. Louis Cardinals. My mom invited him to dinner one time, wrote a fan mail letter to Al Kaline inviting him to dinner. So I'm sure if he could have or would have, he would have done that and come to dinner there at the Rule household in Ferndale. But myself, I had the pleasure of meeting Al Kaline a couple of times. Never really introduced myself to him, but in passing, and did talk to him on two or three occasions in this past couple years at Comerica Park while I was covering Tigers games for the Associated Press and the Detroit News. I called him Mr. Kaline, as you would with a living legend like Kaline was to me at that time. Of course, like I said, he didn't know who I was, but super nice, super generous, super warm, super friendly, as all the good stories you're hearing about people who came across him. Everyone's got an autograph. Everyone's got a warm story about Al Kaline. I'm sure a lot of you guys do as well. As everyone else, we're kind of raising a glass and tipping the cap to a life well lived and a full life at that. A Detroiter through and through, as a young man from Baltimore comes over and gets signed right out of high school by the Tigers. Never played in the minor leagues, was a bonus baby back then to where you had to play in the majors for two seasons if you got over X amount of money. And since he was signed for a reported $35,000 at that time, he had to spend the 2 years in the majors. And by the time he got those 2 years behind him, there was no way that he was going back to the minor leagues, or going to the minor leagues for the first time. Won the batting championship very early on in his career. I believe still the youngest batting champion of all time. One home run short of 400. Hall of Famer on the first ballot, which is very rare in the majors and in baseball. And deserved every bit of the accolades. And of course, like I said, the World Series champion in 1968. Second in MVP voting twice, but never did win American League MVP. And some good Tigers teams back then that didn't win titles as well. I read that 10 of the 12 of his first 12 seasons, 10 of them, the American League was won by the New York Yankees. And that was back when there wasn't an LCS. So you win the American League, you go straight to the World Series. So, of course, the Bronx Bombers dominated baseball back then. And Al Kaline maybe missed out on some what could have been some more World Series titles if the baseball had the current system where a little bit more chance, go to the playoffs and roll the dice and see what happens. But rest in peace to Al Kaline. Love to his family. Love to all of his big fans and friends out there as well. We'll remember Al. And, of course, check out Chris Castellini on Locked on Tigers. I'm sure he's going to be talking about him certainly on today's show. Probably beyond as well. So check that out as he'll be talking about Mr. Tiger, Al Kaline, dead at 85 and after a life very well lived, a legend in the state of Michigan and beyond. But today we're going to talk a little bit about the 64-man tournament. Tough transition, of course, but I did put together the bracket and the matchups. We put together the seeding with RC last week and did some random setups. I did pass along on social media of what the tournament looks like, the 64 seeds and the matchups. And so I would encourage you to check that out. Joe Dumars was matched up in a bracket with number 2 seed Bill Davidson, 3 seed Larry Brown, and 4 seed Tayshaun Prince. Down below them, so a possible Final Four meeting, that's Chauncey's bracket with Rasheed Wallace at a 2 seed, Rip Hamilton at a 3 seed, Dennis Rodman at a 4 seed. So the going to work presence is very big in that one. I'm going to go across the bracket on the bottom to Isaiah Thomas as a 1 seed. He's got Chuck Daly with a possible shot for the Final Four between the 1 and 2 seed there as a 2 seed in the Isaiah bracket. Vinnie Johnson is a 3 seed. Dave Bing is a 4 seed. So huge Bad Boys presence in that one. And going up is what I think is the most interesting bracket. I think it's like wide open. Ben Wallace might be the weakest of the 1 seeds. 1 versus 16 versus Jimmy Walker. I don't know. We'll throw that out there. Bill Laimbeer is a 2 seed there against John Green. 2-15 matchup. Interesting. How about this is a 3 seed matchup? Grant Hill is the 3 seed against Allen Houston, former teammate that he has bad blood with. McCloskey at number 4, Jack McCloskey against Greg Kelser. I could see an upset possibility there. 5 seed, you got Bob Lanier and Adrian Dantley. So a lot of strong unseeded people. Blake Griffin and Josh Smith, teammates on the payroll the last couple years. Lindsey Hunter and Happy Hairston. Dave DeBuscher and Tom Wilson. That's the 8 versus unranked seed there. I could certainly see Tom Wilson pulling off the upset there. So that's an interesting one. And later on this week, we're going to roll through some of those first-round matchups. But, yeah, check that out on Twitter, and we'll share it again on Twitter and Facebook as well. That's what looks like the 64-person most influential Piston figures of all-time bracket here on the Locked on Pistons podcast. Up next, we're going to be joined by Omari Sankofa, who's back in Detroit. He's the new Pistons beat writer for the Detroit Free Press. It's coming up next here on the Locked on Pistons podcast. But hey, sports have come to a screeching halt with basketball benched and pitchers off the mound, but our friends at MyBookie aren't going to let it get you down. Stay sane and stay entertained with access to your favorite games like blackjack, roulette, slots, war, and more. It doesn't matter whether you're out in the front lines or quarantined at home, the fun doesn't have to come to an end with MyBookie. Video poker, not your thing, but you still need a fix? They've got you covered with a host of live casino dealers online. That's right, they have professional dealers at their tables live on site 24/7. Your favorite squad sidelined because of the pandemic? Yes, they are. Don't even sweat it. MyBookie has partnered with some of the leading esports brands to bring you wagers on virtual action straight from the court in NBA 2K20. Plus, you can always do your part to make your bankroll great again by taking advantage of shifting odds on political bets. You can trust the industry leaders in times like these. They're reliable, upright, and best of all, they pay fast when you win. Visit mybookie.ag and use promo code LOCKEDONNBA for a 150% bonus on your first casino deposit. That's promo code LOCKEDONNBA to receive a 150% cash bonus on your first deposit, and you can claim those extra funds all the way up to $750. Use promo code LOCKEDONNBA to activate the offer. That's promo code LOCKEDONNBA. You spin, you win, you get paid.
Yes, sir!
All right, and now we're being joined by Amari Sankofa, the second, the newest member of the Detroit Pistons press corps. Amari, thanks for joining us today.
Yeah, thanks for bringing me on. For those who don't know me, I was previously the Grizzlies writer for The Athletic, and I used to do the Locked On Pod down there with Mark. And I think last week he reached out to you and said, you got to get Amari on. So, there's not a lot of basketball happening, but definitely happy to be on the show. And, I'm sure we can figure out some topics to discuss here. The Pistons are still, they still had about 10, 15 games left. So,
well, we'll talk plenty about Pistons down the road in a little bit here, but since we've got no basketball to talk about, and since we've got you on the press corps, we're going to talk more about Amari today as the new Free Press Pistons beat writer taking over for Vince Ellis, friend of our show as well, and friend of all of us here in Pistons land, who took the buyout a few months ago. And now Amari taking over. You can follow Amari on Twitter at OMARI, and Sankofa goes SANKOFA. So that's the handle there. Give him a follow. So Amari, what's the quick bio, the bullet points? Tell us about the journey. And I would say welcome to Detroit, but you're a Detroiter, so welcome home. And how'd the winding path bring you back to the D?
Yeah, it's a homecoming for me. So I was born and raised here, and graduated from Michigan State in 2016. And I've actually had a relationship with the Free Press for a few years now. They don't do this anymore, but when I graduated high school, they did a high school journalism program with Detroit Public Schools that I was involved in, and it kind of culminated with me doing like a 7-week apprenticeship with the paper right after I graduated and right before I started at Michigan State. That was back in 2012. And then I ended up freelancing for the Free Press right before I graduated Michigan State. I did 4.5 years. So that would have been fall 2016. So I've known people who've worked for the Free Press for a good bit. I knew Vince, I knew Chris Solari, Joe Rexroad, who both covered Michigan State. You look at that LSJ Graham Couch. I had known people for a while, so the relationship was there. I was at The Athletic covering the Grizzlies since November 2018, and when Vince stepped down a couple months ago, he had some recommendations basically for people that the Free Press should try, and I was one of those people. So the Free Press reached out to me, and we began to chat, obviously there's some back and forth, but I decided this would probably be, my one chance to, go home and cover the team that I grew up watching, which, is obviously something that a lot of sports writers can't say that they've been able to do. And, I just thought it made sense. So, yeah, I'm back. I'm currently staying with my parents while I figure out my living stuff, which I may just wait out this coronavirus stuff, to be safe and whatnot. But yeah, it's been sort of a winding path, but it's definitely good to be back and be back home.
Yeah, and congratulations for that. I've kind of been in your shoes before. When I came back home to Detroit a couple of years ago myself, I stayed with the folks for a little bit, and that was me in my 30s. So no shame in that game. Take your time and figure it out. Find the right place to lay your head after a while. But Amari, and you talked about, you mentioned, kind of the whirlwind we're all kind of dealing with right now, a lot of unknowns and a lot of uncertainties. I guess when you're making a move like this, not all the way across the country, but a few states away, fortunately, a lot of what you're coming into here in Detroit. But, what are some of the biggest challenges as far as logistically? We talked before we started recording that you had your first day here with the Free Press as we're recording, and it was obviously a little bit more unusual of a first day than most of us are used to with new jobs, huh?
Yeah, no, it definitely was. Gaudette's had a stay-at-home order for a few weeks. And, of course, there's the same order here in Michigan for everything non-essential. So, for the most part, the Free Press office has been empty. And a lot of my onboarding, or I guess all of it, was handled remotely. So, it was basically me on two conference calls today, a couple phone calls, just emails and scanning documents and whatnot, and definitely fairly unique for an onboarding process. But at the same time, when I was with the Athletic, I kind of worked remotely too down in Memphis. So, it's not something that I'm new to. You know, it's just weird in the sense that everything's sort of on hold, and there's a lot of people that are not my coworkers that I likely won't be able to meet until you know, some of the restrictions begin to lift, and who knows when that'll be. You know, it may not be until late in the summer, you know, just depending on how much we can flatten this curve. And obviously, you know, fingers crossed we can do this sooner rather than later. But yeah, I mean, you know, it's definitely an interesting time to switch jobs and come into a new beat. But at the same time, there's still going to be, you know, basketball news, obviously. There's still going to be some features I'll be able to work on. And whether the media is there or not, you know, eventually there will be a draft. There will be a free agency period and other things that, you know, the league is going to have to do, you know, either on time or maybe later if they do play out the rest of the season. So a lot of waiting and seeing and unique circumstances. But, you know, I guess it's the same as everybody else, really. You know, we're all just kind of, you know, seeing how this is going to shake out.
Yeah, and I think in some ways, just kind of off the top of my head here, that you're coming in, you know, in April, which otherwise would have been the very end of a season. Maybe you'd be thrown right into a road trip or something like that. So maybe in some ways, it could be a nice way to kind of get your feet wet with the organization going forward. Obviously, we'll hope for the best for you there. But you mentioned, you know, growing up rooting for the Pistons, being a Detroiter yourself. I mean, when you think back of the memories that you had as a young fan, did you have like a favorite player growing up, or do you have like a game you went to as a kid that stands out, or some certain memories other than, you know, the obvious, you know, a championship in 04 or something like that? Are there some things that really stand out to you that are your unique Pistons memories to your upbringing?
Yeah, I became, you know, I think even when I was like a little kid, I used to like basketball was my favorite sport. And, you know, I would watch the Pistons, but also, some of the other teams as well, like, you know, like the Lakers and whatnot. And I probably became like a big Pistons fan where I was watching them every single week, you know, around 2003. So, you know, when they won a championship in 04, I think that kind of solidified a fandom that was already growing. I was a big Rasheed Wallace fan growing up. Really, I liked the entire team, but, you know, I think Rasheed Wallace was probably my favorite. Man, I remember going to a game. I want to say this was 2006, and we got some really good tickets somehow. Like, we were probably lower bow, like maybe 7-8 rows up, and they were playing the Cavs. And I just remember seeing in person just how much bigger and faster LeBron was than everybody else. And, you know, I've probably been to games before that, but that's like the first game I truly remember going to. You know, I was probably around, you know, like 11, something like that. And, you know, and then from there, it pretty much grew. Like, I would estimate between 2007 and 2013, I probably watched 85% to 90% of all the regular season games. So, you know, so that, you know, so there's some good basketball in there. And then, you know, the majority of that period was bad basketball.
Yeah. That shows a lot of dedication. Like I was going to say, I was skipping a lot of those games back in the day, not going to lie to you. Now, Amari Sankofa, the Detroit Free Press, on his first day on the job on the Pistons beat. Now, the press corps, I know you're familiar with most of these guys, if not all the guys, but people in our profession, we'd love to answer this question with, I'm great at everything, so I can do it all. But, you know, you look around the landscape of writers and different people in the media, but Rod Beard of the Detroit News, he does a podcast about the Pistons. You know, James Edwards of The Athletic, he finds unique angles and story ideas and things like that. Vince was maybe the most sourced of all the people on the Pistons beat as far as the things that he knew about the organization from spending about a decade covering the team up close and personal. Is there something that you think that readers and followers of you and your work that you're going to do multimedia wise will notice like in a short time that are things that you're really good at? If you had to size up yourself as someone who covers these teams and the work you've done in the past, is there something that you think that you really kind of excel at in this business?
One thing that people said when I covered the Grizzlies that they appreciated is that the way I write, you know, I make it easy for, you know, everybody to kind of understand what's going on. I think one thing I notice about sports fans is that they all want something different from the coverage. You know, you have people who are, you know, really into advanced stats and they want those types of breakdowns and analysis. You know, you have people who don't really care about the advanced stats, but they like the features or just general game coverage. And when I was at the Athletic, I tried to, you know, combine a little bit of all of that. But, you know, but I think when it comes to advanced stats especially, I think some people are either intimidated by them or they don't understand why that they are important. And when you over-explain just a little bit, I think it typically does a good job of getting everybody sort of in the same boat, because now people don't have to be the dumb one and ask, what does this mean or that mean? You know, they read it and the story explained it pretty well. And, you know, and I've always tried to kind of put things into layman's terms as much as I can, just to make sure everybody's following along, because, you know, like, everybody watches basketball for different reasons. You know, I've never been a, you know, if you don't like advanced stats and why are you talking about the game type of guy. You know, I think that it's all valid. So I try to have a good mix of that. I've always enjoyed writing good features too. That's always been something, whether, you know, it's basketball or I was at the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette before the Athletic, covering a little bit of everything. And I, you know, had a variety of stories there on, you know, different teams. And, you know, and I try to mix things up and get things off the beaten path a little bit. So I guess maybe that's similar in James and to James in some ways. And obviously me and James were just coworkers up until a couple of weeks ago. So, you know, I'm very familiar with the work he had done, and, you know, as well as Rod Beard, just following Pistons coverage in general. So, you know, I guess I'm like an everyman in a sense. You know, I wouldn't say that there's one thing I try to specialize in, but, you know, I definitely try to write for different audiences so everybody can come away with something from me.
Yeah, I think it'll be interesting. You see a lot of folks that go from newspapers to the Athletic, and now some people, including yourself, kind of going back for different jobs and different reasons. So hopefully, you know, things might be a little different than your traditional older guy who's been on the beats, different newspapers for years and years. So I think it'll be something that you probably will bring to the table that maybe other folks might not be able to. So I'm interested to see how that evolves. But we got to talk a little bit about the current Pistons before I let you go here. And I know that, you know, you're looking at the team and probably been studying the team in addition to following them, your hometown team, while you were in Memphis, but now kind of getting geared up on the ins and outs of this team in particular. As you look, and assuming that, you know, and who knows, maybe the Pistons will have 5 or 10 games to finish off the regular season at some point down the road. Let's just kind of toss that to the side for now. As you kind of diagnose this offseason coming up, what do you think that the main priorities maybe should be about this team going? I don't know if you've studied much about the draft or about possible free agents in particular, or, you know, whether there's some, you know, the Christian Wood situation. Is there, and I'm not asking you for a whole comprehensive dissertation about all of it, but are there a couple things that you think that this team needs to be focusing on this offseason in particular as they look to the future?
Yeah, what I need to know is draft pick, for one. You know, I think for a team that hasn't had a, you know, a draft pick higher than 7 overall, you know, I think since Darko, you know, it's been, you know, like about 15 years. And, you know, it's hard to pull off a rebuild when you can't even get into the top 4 of the lottery. You know, I think that's been a big factor in another.
As you know, coming from Memphis, where they were at the same level the Pistons were in 2016, barely making the playoffs. Memphis goes one more year in 2017, but then have bottomed out for a couple years and got the draft picks and the young talent that they have now.
Yeah, you know, they completely bottomed out. I think they had a bottom 2 record, actually, going into 2018, and got a lucky foot on the floor, but that ended up working out because they got Jaren Jackson Jr., you know, of course, who Michigan State fans would know around here, and he was great this season, you know, and then, of course, they got lucky last summer and moved up and got Ja, you know, so that's how a rebuild goes well, right? Bottom out, and then you have a little bit of luck. The Pistons haven't really done either. They haven't fully bottomed out, and they haven't been lucky. So I think going into next season, well, one, you need to know that draft pick, and they need a point guard, and this is a point guard heavy draft, so that works out pretty well. You know, whether it's with Killian Hayes or the Mellow Ball or Halliburton, who I like a lot, you know, I think, you know, there's a high chance that they're going to get their point guard of the future in this draft, so that puts you in a good spot right off the bat. You know, if you retain Christian Wood, great. If you don't, then, you know, that would suck. But, you know, but at the same time, I don't think that they would be in a terrible position if they don't. I don't think that'll make or break the offseason. I think the draft pick's a bit more important. And then three, you know, if they could make a decision on what they want to do with Blake Griffin, whether that's trying to unload him now and hope he gets fully healthy, you know, because I don't know if I necessarily buy that that deal is untradeable. We saw Chris Blogger traded last summer, and you know, depending on what happens with the playoffs this year, if there are playoffs, you may see some teams become desperate. You know, Blake will still be towards the tail end of his prime this deal ends. So that may be a risk that a team joins is willing to take. So whether you want to load Blake or let him come back and get back up to an elite level, and then, you know, flip him next summer at the trade deadline. You know, I think that's where they need to be with Blake at this point. Clearly, the experiment hasn't quite planned out how they wanted it to. And they do have cap space, so if you think you can land another star and retool on the fly, then, you know, it just depends on the type of player. But the team should be firmly looking at the future at this point and looking at what they can get back for a player of that caliber.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, we're looking forward to reading your work and seeing how everything goes with the Pistons and beyond. But Omari Sankofa II, thanks for taking the time to join us. Last question, you're back home. What's the best part about being back home? Is there something about being at the house, something about a restaurant you've been missing? What's the best part about being back in Detroit?
Yeah, the best part of being back is, you know, I think it's really, you know, since I left for college, I haven't really lived in the city for about 8 years. And, you know, and you see kind of how rapidly the city has changed in an eight-year span. You begin to think, sort of, how could I be a part of that? You know, I think mm-hmm. a part of my life where, you know, I didn't imagine I would want to come back to Detroit just because, you know, you grew up in the city and you kind of see the bad experience, the bad that you want to get away. But I think part of the reason why I wanted to come back is because, you know, I think it's important for, you know, people who were born and raised in the city to come back and bring that experience back, basically. So, you know, I just see the landscape of the city changing. And, you know, I think it just excites me to kind of see what could come next. And, you know, I'd obviously find ways that I can be involved in that, you know, in a variety of areas, you know, whatever that may be. So so that's what excites me most, is seeing, you know, that Detroit is changing, its reputation is changing. And, you know, somebody who was born and raised here, you know, feeling like I should be a part of that in some way.
Great. Well, Omari Sankofa, thanks for your time and welcome home. And we'll be reading you in the Free Press.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's do this again soon. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks again to Omari Sankofa, new Free Press beat writer of the Detroit Pistons. Looking forward to following along with this stuff and having him on the show more as it goes on. But listeners, also looking for folks to help us out pick the matchups, pick the winners on the 64 most influential Pistons figures of all time bracket. So email me at matt_shook@yahoo.com if you want more information on that, or if you want to help out with that. Also, we've got great deals for advertising during the shutdown, so get in touch with me and I'll get you some rates for your company, for your business, for whatever you want to promote here on the Locked On Pistons podcast. But that wraps up this edition. Now tell your smart device to play the most recent episode of Rejecting the Screen. Have a great day, everyone. We'll talk to you guys later.